this spring by nearly a unanimous vote in both houses of the state legislature, lawmakers approved legislation designed to restructure the State Authorities Control Board, a relatively obscure state panel that has gotten increased attention in recent years because of its ability to approve or essentially veto financing for certain economic development projects. The latest campaign to change the board is in response to changes that Democrats in the state legislature okayed 3 years ago at the behest of then-Governor Andrew Cuomo, who wanted to exert more power over the body. To discuss what the Public Authorities Control Board could look like in the future and how it would operate, we're joined by Assembly Corporations, Authorities, and Commissions Committee Chair Amy Paulin, a Westchester County Democrat who is spearheading these changes. Welcome back to the show, Assembly Member.
Thank you so much, Dave.
So can you explain the scope of the Public Authorities Control Board? Because while it does have a lot of power, it is narrow to a certain degree as it pertains to public authorities, right?
Yes. The initial or the goal of the board is to make the transaction really transparent to the public. And that's really the use or the prime use of the board, so that the legislature is engaged in the spending for the authorities, because we have very little oversight in the budget, so that the public is aware of those same transactions.
And when we talk about authorities that are covered by this, what are, I guess, some of the 11 statewide public authorities that need to receive a resolution of approval from this board in order to enter into any project-related financing?
For the most part, they're the authorities that people are aware of. You know, there are thousands of authorities, mm-hmm. because there's so many local and more obscure ones that most people have never heard of. But these are the ones that you would have heard of, you know, the larger ones in the state, for example.
So like the MTA, for example, or?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Gotcha. So prior to 2019 and the addition of a new section of law that really restricted how certain members might vote, what was the process of this board? Was it essentially a rubber stamp? Was it sending things back and saying no? What was its history like?
It's never been a rubber stamp. The staff, both at the Assembly and Senate level, take their responsibility very seriously and look carefully at each of the proposed expenditures and ask questions. Those questions then reveal more detail, again, so that the public is aware, the legislators are aware, and on occasion, some of those transactions are sent back for changes, clarifications, revisions. So it's not a rubber stamp, but, you know, are most transactions changed? No. But there is an analysis of each one and a direction from the legislature on each one.
The language that was added to the public authorities law in 2019 really restricted the rationale that a member of this board could use to vote down a project, essentially saying that as long as a project, an authority demonstrated that there was a commitment of funds adequate to finance maybe an acquisition or construction, that the board member had to vote for it. You're looking to repeal that language. How come?
The language was initially proposed and put in because the governor at the time did not like some of the members of the board, did not like the senator, did not
have confidence. Was it Mike Gianaris?
Didn't like Gianaris, you know, which I think that Senator Gianaris would readily admit to. Therefore, was trying to target this board in a very inappropriate and very political manner to get at a certain person. And that which should have never happened, but our hands were tied during the budget, as you know, because of silver versus potato. tacky. Our hands are tied often in budget negotiations, and this was one of the things that the then governor insisted on. So to get some spending that we wanted, or whatever the initiatives in the budget at the time we were negotiating, we gave him this language so that he could achieve his political goal and not jeopardize some of the spending initiatives that both the Senate and Assembly cared about. So I think the senator took the high road, the governor took the low road. This emerged, and it's time to go back and have a respectful relationship between the governor and the legislature and repeal this language.
So a component of that language essentially gave the governor the ability to remove a member if it was determined that they had acted outside of the scope of their authority as determined by this new language. Is it your understanding of our new governor, Governor Kathy Hochul, that she would look to utilize this language? Do you think she would be as vindictive as her predecessor, or?
No, I don't think that's true. I don't think she would be, but we certainly don't want, while we have the opportunity with a more cooperative governor, we should be taking advantage and restoring the original language.
So this bill, as I mentioned at the top, passed with a near unanimous vote. So do you anticipate the legislature will simply return to Albany and override the governor's veto if she decides not to approve this measure, if she decides she doesn't want to sign it and vetoes it?
I think overrides are always very difficult, so I'm not going to...
How come?
I can't offer an opinion on that.
Why are they difficult? I mean, you have plenty of votes. You have bipartisan support for this.
In my 22 years, I think we've voted to override about 7 times. So, we don't do it easily, lightly. It's a statement, again, toward an uncooperative relationship. And I don't think that it'll be something that the legislature is going to want to take on at this point. I don't know. I mean, certainly this is a bill that does speak to the power between the legislature and the governor. So I think that it would be a discussion, but, whether we ultimately overrode a veto is just beyond my pay grade.
Well, you did say, though, in terms of the budget, that the legislature was sort of forced into acting because the way the Constitution and subsequent court rulings have come down really sets up in the favor of the executive in the budget process. But this is a legislative prerogative to advance legislation and to exercise a veto. So while the overall decision might be above your pay grade, would you like to see the legislature become more aggressive in terms of exercising its constitutional authority, like an override?
For me, that really depends on the specific issue, how strongly I feel about it. Have there been times during the time when I have been elected where I felt that if we had votes, we should take that step? Yeah, there have been times, but they're not very often. Most times you can negotiate changes and work in a cooperative way, and I do think that's best for everyone.
Well, as we speak on December 1st, it's, I guess, premature to talk about veto overrides because the bill hasn't even been delivered to the governor for her signature yet. So I'm curious if there's any sort of conversations going on behind closed doors about maybe a chapter amendment that the legislature and governor might agree to, something that would prompt the governor to sign this bill in exchange for the legislature agreeing to make additional tweaks in 2023?
We haven't been approached on a chapter amendment.
But are you anticipating that you'll hear from the governor?
No. I probably have 12 bills that haven't been signed. And in talking to governor's councils, some of them just haven't gotten up to it yet. So this could easily be in that category. I really don't know the answer. Mm-hmm. So we'll know in the next few weeks for sure.
Is there a version of this bill that would make sense if it was to be tweaked, because the bill as it is very simple. I think it's basically just one sentence saying the language from 2019 is repealed. So what would a possible or acceptable amendment for you look like? Is there another version of this that would be acceptable?
We haven't offered another version. I'm not aware of another version.
You don't want to negotiate against yourself?
No, exactly. If asked to consider another version, I then would think about it, because it is simple. I don't know that it would be that time consuming, but I don't want to give myself extra work before I need to.
And finally, one of the big items that the Public Authorities Control Board is going to have repeated oversight of moving forward is this overhaul of Penn Station that the governor's envisioned, and she's already had one vote earlier this year, and I guess the expectation is they'll hold multiple votes for different components. In the initial vote, it's my understanding that you recused yourself. Do you anticipate being involved in future votes on the PACB with regards to the redevelopment of Penn Station?
The reason I was forced to recuse myself, or I did recuse myself, was because of a business deal that my husband was involved in with the same developer. He's in real estate. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with the MTA proposal at all. But just being very cautious, I decided it was best at the time. So, going forward, I would have to make a continued evaluation depending on, if my husband's business dealings had any bearing on that development, but I don't expect they will. And I would expect that if I stay a member of the PACB board, I'd be able to involve myself in many more of those conversations.
Yeah, with 2023 right around the corner, there's the likelihood of committee chair shakeups with changes in members. For example, Dick Gottfried is gone from the Assembly, so the Health Committee is open. Do you anticipate that you'll still be the chair of the Corporations Committee next year and sort of the de facto representative for the Assembly on the PACB?
I really don't know. Obviously, committee decisions will be made by the Speaker, and I will do whatever the Speaker asks me to do, whether it's to stay at Corps or to make a change.
A change like maybe the Health Committee?
Yeah, that, or there are other committees open as well.
Like environmental conservation.
There's lots of committees open.
Yes. Well, we've been speaking with Assembly Member Amy Pollan. She is a Westchester County Democrat and currently chairs the Committee on Corporations, Authorities, and Commissions. Assembly Member, thank you so much for making the time and digging into this wonky issue with us.
Yes, well, thank you, Dave, always.
Business, agency, or service interested in delivering your message to more than 24 radio stations statewide carrying Capital Press Room? If so, visit capitalpressroom.org to contact our underwriting team.